Kik Lee may not be a name you're familiar with yet, but it's quite possible you've heard his music. The locally based producer has his tunes on major national ad campaigns and Hollywood productions. And as he works towards his own dreams, he's doing his best to lift up others too. I spoke with Kik Lee earlier. Okay, Kik Lee, you've said the Cincinnati Music Accelerator's goal is to end starving artists.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
So pretty much end starving artists for us means actually helping monetize their craft and what they do, you know, creating and building opportunities to where they get compensated for their performances, their work, and just their merch and everything to where they actually become more than just a brand. You know, they become a household name. So we're trying to help build them to that point.
So there are a lot of musicians out there who have access to an audience via social media. Anytime there's a viral tweet now, the thing to do is to point point people to your SoundCloud in a reply tweet if it starts to take off, right? And that's kind of become a joke because there's so many people out there with these things. But just having access to an audience doesn't guarantee access to money.
That is true. That is so true. I mean, that audience, having an audience is key to success. I mean, even not just the audience, your network, you know, your network actually increases your success rate too. So it's like we try to just build all these different things that just give them access to these other things like spaces and places and just people and just resources. But a bigger piece we're trying to get them to access is funding. You know, that's a big deal too, because musicians are a business as well. They are entrepreneurs and have always been entrepreneurs. But I don't feel like anyone's really, now people are, but at the time, I never felt like anyone was trying to shed light on that. And that's what I'm trying to do, is help shed more light. Like, we are, myself as well, we are a business, we are a brand, we are a company, we are entrepreneurs.
That's something that I think probably transcends all the different creative genres. It's, if you're somebody who's working and hustling from job to job, you do have to look at yourself as an entrepreneur.
That is true, yes.
Limited difference.
Yeah, very much so.
So how does the accelerator do that? You mentioned that you're introducing to people, but what exactly goes into it?
So what really goes into it, you know, from our course standpoint, is like we pretty much teach them marketing and branding. That's like pretty much one of our first classes. We also kind of back that up with entertainment law. Just, you know, what is IP? What is IP even mean? You know, intellectual property. What is copywriting even mean? How do you copyright? Why is it important to copyright your music? You know, how do you form an LLC? Why should you form an LLC? You know, they don't know that if someone sues them and they don't have anything like an LLC, a company to protect them from that, they're screwed. That's all their personal assets. It's gone. So we teach them about all those things and kind of push them to say, you need to do this to get to this point. And then we back that up with like financial courses. I teach the monetization on a scale of, you're not just a musician, you are a brand. You know, if you decide to go out and have your own shoe, your own pens or whatever, that's part of your brand. You need to know how to monetize everything around you. So I teach that piece. We also have storytelling. We have like booking, which we pretty much teach, how do you go out and shop yourself? How do you obtain gigs and things that of that nature that actually help build to compensation, you know, paid opportunities.
You announced recently the Launchpad series
at
3 Points Urban Brewery. What is it?
So 3 Points actually reached out to me a year ago. My buddy Aaron, man, shout out to Aaron. He was like, you know, I really love your mission, man. He had just moved back to Cincinnati as well, you know, and went straight into it with 3 Points and just was like, I want to try to, you know, their focus is the arts as well, you know. And they're like, well, how can we be a part of that? So it was kind of like brainstorming. They were still fairly new, so they were still trying to figure things out. I was as well. And then a year later now, they were like, we got it. We want to call it Launchpad. And then we want to be able to do this with you. And we just want to help you, man. Like, how can we help? Like, how can we do this? And I was like, well, let's go with Launchpad. Let's do that. And pretty much Launchpad is a residency that we have now starting March 15th. And what that is we bring in alumni from the Accelerator and friends to perform within the 3 Points Brewery space. They provide that space to us. And the cool thing is that they pretty much will compensate the talent. And when they compensate talent every month after every showcase, we actually get a donation. So that way we're not dipping into their funds and what they're getting from the paid gigs. It's just coming another way to us. So that's kind of our fee. And it's nice because you can write that off as, you know, a tax write-off.
Absolutely. You've learned a lot about business.
Oh, yes. Hell yes. I've learned so much. But like I say, Launchpad, I'm very excited because it's free. It's open to the public. Anyone can attend. And like I say, we're just trying to create more access to spaces and places. And thankfully, Three Points Brewery has really stepped up and said, what do you need? Not just, you know, how can we help? Yeah, what do you need? It's like, what do you need? How can we do it? Let's find a solution. Let's build. They're just so eager. And like, that meant so much to me and my team and even the students, the alumni and the students now that are like, wow, we have a residency somewhere. I'm going to be able to perform somewhere and get paid. You know, because our overall goal, like I say, one of our big missions with the Accelerator is we're trying to also go out and recruit outside of Cincinnati, bring people here that, you know, want to go through our program with the hopes of making them transplants. And the way we can help set that in stone is by ourselves create more paid opportunities and gigs for them to the point they're like, I just made $500 this month through you guys. Or I just made $1,000 just performing. Why would I leave that? I'm going to stay here.
What is getting paid for something that you'd just been hustling at and working on free? What does that do to your mindset when you approach the art?
Man, it changes. It just changes your emotion, your drive. It's the drive. Once you see that people respect your talent, like someone, even if it's just quick $50, like if you're like, hey, I got $50, you do a quick 30 minutes. It's like, whoa, 50, like, yeah, let's do it. You know, because we're in Cincinnati. It's a starving city when it comes to musicians and just creative arts and talent. Like, I really feel like the music art in Cincinnati is the most underfunded and served, you know, area in art in Cincinnati. And I'm like, we have to change that. We have to find a way to fix that. I'm really good about solution, solution, solution. This is the problem. Great. Here's a solution. Awesome. Let's figure that out. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And let's try it. See if it works.
So if I'm a musician, I'm thinking, man, I've got to get to Nashville or mm-hmm. I've got to get to L.A. or New York or wherever. But you're actively trying to get people to relocate to Cincinnati. Yes. Why Cincinnati?
Because Cincinnati is home. Cincinnati has a lot of things that are thriving, that are just becoming so magnificent. But there's that key piece. Music really is a key piece to our lives. Like, could we survive? I don't believe we could without music. If you're in a very bad mood and you're not happy or something's wrong, you turn to music. Oh, my God, there's this spark of excitement. You know, even in your mellow mood, you may have a mellow song that kind of just drives the mood. Music is what drives the narrative of our life. I really believe that. And it helps tell our story. Sometimes it tells the story alone. That's what music is. So, like I say, my big goal overall in my life, I say now in my life, is to help build Cincinnati into a music city.
And you've had some interesting professional work,
yes.
Even though you're based in Cincinnati. You worked on the movie X-Men Apocalypse. You were on the sound design team.
I didn't run it. No. I've got to be clear on that. Not running it. I was just a part of the team. It was kind of a last minute come in, help out type of deal.
So. How did it work out? I mean, how did that happen?
Full Sail. Full Sail University is where I graduated from. Bachelor's in music production science.
Based in Florida. They have a big emphasis on music production and cinema and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so that's kind of where that started. And it, you know, friends knowing friends that led me to one place to another. Like I always tell people, like, your network is important. And, you know, my success is due to the people around me. I say that all the time.
So where did you do the work? Like, are they calling you like, oh, we need you in L.A.?
Not as much anymore, just because I kind of just strayed away from, like, you know, really doing the big production because it's really cool, but it is a lot of work. It's like 12 to 16-hour days. You're working nonstop. It's great, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't fully have access to your phone and things like that. So I kind of work on, like, smaller projects. I'm actually working on a film locally now. We're on break right now, but it's William Dummy Hoy, he was the first deaf Major League Baseball player and actually was signed to the Reds.
Wow.
Years and years ago. So we're actually doing sound design with a local studio to do that stuff. So very exciting.
So you did some work on the reality series, Jersey Shore, as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was, whoa, man, that was, whew, yeah, that was kind of like, I guess that would be like the first opportunity. Yeah, that was kind of quick, but it was great because I had my music. That was kind of the first time I actually had the taste of having my music just being played in something. I didn't even know that was licensing. That was, I just knew that was a use, and I got paid a quick little buck from it, and it took off. But at the same time, the internet wasn't as big as it was, as it is today. So, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. Now, that was to happen, it's like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, then at that point, you're sending people to your SoundCloud on Twitter, right?
Right.
Exactly. So was this like an interlude situation? They needed some music, incidental
music?
Yeah,
it was quick. It's like, hey, we need some music. We heard you're a guy that may have some stuff. Again, Full Sail, man. It's a great school. But they were like, yeah, you know, some friends of ours told us you had some stuff. What you got? And I sent like a folder through, iCloud. It's actually through iCloud. Oh, yeah. I don't use it as much for like storage when it comes to files, but that's where I sent it through. Got to them, and they're like, hey, we like these two tracks. We're going to use that, and boom.
What's the difference between working for a big Hollywood blockbuster and a reality television show?
It's not really much of a difference. I mean, the industry is the industry. And just because, like, even though, you know, Fox, X-Men Apocalypse, that's on a bigger level. And, you know, Jersey Shore is actually on a big level as well. They're all intertwined in the same industry. So it works. They all work hand in hand.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking today with Kick Lee, the founder of the Cincinnati Music Accelerator. He's got a diverse and exciting professional background as well in music. And I want to talk a little bit more about some of these. We've talked about your work on the X-Men Apocalypse film and the Jersey Shore reality series mm-hmm. on MTV. But you've also had some contracts to work with some pretty notable brands.
Yes.
And so what we'll do is I'll say the brand name and we'll have the control room roll some of the sound and we'll talk about what it is.
Yeah.
One of your deals was with Disney.
Yes. Yes.
Can we hear that? So what are we hearing?
So this is Joys of Love. It's actually my first kiddie kind of poppy song. When I made it, I was like, is this so legit? Like, I remember like being in my studio bouncing and jumping around. And like I say, it was already pre-made, pre-composed. So pretty much I already made it. And I shopped it out, you know, to some folks and some, again, network. Said, hey, you know, they need some music. Would you happen to have anything that's similar to this? And I said, well, yeah, sure, I got this. So it actually got placed on, I'm trying to think of what was that? Definitely Disney Channel, but I'm trying to think of what.
Like one of their series?
Yeah, it was like one of the series things, but it was kind of quick and easy. They only used like 30 seconds of it. And it was like, whoa, that actually just happened.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and it actually got used. It actually still gets used in their theme park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they have like certain rides have this kind of intro video before they start or something like that. So that they ended up using it for the intro video. And I remember someone reaching out to me because I didn't know. Someone reached out to me and said, hey, I heard this. I really liked it. I Shazammed it. And your name and everything popped up with it. And I said, really, could you, you know, where was this? And they told me. So I actually did some research on myself and found out that they use it in an intro video. And I was like, wow. But that actually wasn't the first time. SeaWorld actually has one that they use for the Orca the Orca show.
So, wow. That's pretty exciting. You had some work from the car brand Lexus.
Yes.
Right? Can we hear the Lexus track? Okay, so was this used in a commercial for television, or how was this used?
Yeah, so it was actually used in their social media campaign, and what they did was they took a model car they had just released on a tour, and they took it to select cities, and pretty much what the cities did, or the companies in the city, one was really good at just body, you know, paint jobs for cars. Like, so they painted the car a nice purplish, nice little color. And then it went to another city and they took care of like the brakes and the pads, and they explained why they do what they do and why this is important and key to a car's development. And then they went to another city that was really big about tires and rims. And then they took it to another city that installed a sound system in it. And then they actually had a group, a duo from Austin, Texas, actually like perform out of the car.
Oh my gosh.
And then the final stop was at a Miami car show. And that's when they showcased the full car. So literally the tour was building up to this car show in Miami. And that's when they showcased the car and all the details and highlighted different things about it. So I was like, wow, that's
yeah, all with
awesome.
Your song going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. really cool. You did some work for Samsung.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's hear that one. So are a lot of these compositions ready-made and you try to match a pitch or,
yeah.
or are they commissioned?
So they're already made, ready-made. I send them out, like I say, in a catalog. You know, I just say, hey, here's my catalog. Check this out. This actually is my favorite one out of all the music I've composed. It's Bright Dreams. The reason it's so big to me is because as an African-American and, you know, black guy and producing music, people are like, you know, they always associate hip hop. I always think I do rap and everything. So when I actually made this, this was like an eye opener that I could really transcend and do something different. Something that's just so powerful and just the dynamics. You know, you can actually hear this on Spotify called Bright Dreams, like I said. And when you listen to it, it's so dynamic. It's so powerful. It's just, you feel it in your heart.
Okay, and you got some more work, and this is, I guess, kind of related to Disney because it's ESPN, but you did some work for SportsCenter.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh, that's right. That's right.
So how did this come about?
So this one, again, it's like you get a random email in the morning. Like I say, I shot my catalog, you get a random email in the morning, like, hey, so we're going to use this, you know, which you have an agreement, you know, which, you know, send that over or we can send our agreement. Sometimes they already know your fees. Sometimes they're like, well, you know, what is your fee and things like that. And then you kind of don't really know what they're going to use it. They don't tell you right off bat fully what it's going to be used for. They'll like give you an idea of what it'll be used for. But they say like, yeah, we're totally going to use it. And then when you find out, you know, a lot of people don't know about the cue sheets. They have to submit a cue sheet. And that's kind of when I found out that it was in SportsCenter. And it's a advertisement that they kind of just kept running during games and stuff like that. And as they talk about them. And it was, I forget who the players were, but it was like, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to do that. Then it's kind of like a background snippet of a game and some, like, oh my God, no, he didn't kind of deal. And later, it's actually like a snippet later in that track that pretty much has a lot of dynamics and just adrenaline and excitement. And again, it gets calm. So that kind of helped it. They chopped it up to drive the narrative of the clip. And I was just like, wow, that was so dope. I would have never probably composed it that way.
It's not bad, though, to have these credits, a major Hollywood studio and
yeah.
Disney, luxury car brand, mobile phone maker, and
yeah.
then a cultural institution like SportsCenter.
Yeah.
So all very cool. So the path to music stardom has evolved.
Yes.
A kid can throw up some videos of himself singing on YouTube. He can become Justin Bieber or
yeah.
Shawn Mendes. How do you advise a young person looking to break into music thinking that social media posts may be the best path forward?
I advise them in a way to just say, you know, do it. Don't just do it. You know, just because you can't see the stairs fully doesn't mean you're not going to be able to take that first step. If you can see the first step, go for it. You know, the first step is really just doing it. You know, try it out. You kind of already got an idea. People always say, you know, when it comes to licensing, it's like, you know, who do I reach out to? Who do I email? Like, you know, how do y'all even begin? There's your first step right there. Ask questions. Once you start asking questions and asking people, you'll get the answer. Now, that person you may ask first, second, third may not have the answer, but they may know someone who can lead you in that direction. Because it's like in any industry, we can identify people that are in our industry. You know, you can say, oh, that guy's got to be in the arts. You know, just we have something about us that just shows, and it's like our business card. Like, he's in the arts. He's definitely in the arts. What it is, I don't quite know. Or some people might say, oh, he does this. He's got to be a visual artist. Or he's carrying a book bag. He's got to be a producer. So I just tell him, you know, just do it, man. Go out there and have fun with it. Do not be afraid. Fear is just a mental state. Fear is just, some people say it's not real. It is totally real. But it literally is a construct of the mind. Just go out there and do it, man.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
So you were part of a Cincy Storytellers event.
Yeah.
And the theme that night was about big mistakes
yes.
made in the speakers' lives. What mm-hmm. did you share that night?
I shared what was my biggest mistake. And pretty much what I told the audience, my biggest mistake was the fact that I had an opportunity to go to L.A. And, you know, my son's mother at that time when we were together was she, you know, she had just started college. She was still trying to figure stuff out for us, you know, and the baby. I just became a dad, too. So it was like, she was like, I don't feel like we should do that. You know, she's like, not right now. You know, we're still trying to get stuff together. And because I loved and trusted her so much, I kind of just I was like, all right, you're right. But the thing was, I could have argued that. I could have literally put a pitch together to say this would change our lives. She's a visual artist. I'm a musical artist, you know, a composer. And, you know, our child is just going to be it's going to be this big thing because of our different talents. Her whole family's very artistic. You know, my family's very artistic. So it's like if we would have took him, he probably could be at a bigger level. We could probably be at a higher level in our careers and what we're doing. So that was my biggest mistake in my life was not fighting for that opportunity.
To go to L.A. So that's interesting because earlier we talked about, you know, you want people to come to Cincinnati too. So yeah. How did that change for you where you went from regretting not taking the opportunity in Los Angeles saying, I'm fine right here. Not only am I fine right here, but yeah. Other people should come here too.
Well, I got influenced more by meeting the right people who help explain and show me the real genuine love of Cincinnati that I just didn't see or have access to. You know, you hear people bash their towns and their city, but you don't hear the really, really good things about it. And once you start hearing it, you start seeing it. You know, you start witnessing it. You're like, whoa, that is really cool. And I travel a lot, especially now. I'm traveling a lot more. I'm involved in a lot more. I'm talking to a lot more people. I'm just networking, you know, even if it's just going out and getting a beer, some food or whatever. I'm running into different people who have the same amount of energy as me in different cities. And I started to realize, like, man, I promote Cincinnati. Like, I own the place. Like, you would think so. I've become this ambassador. But talking to them and really seeing Cincinnati for what it really is has really driven me to say, I need to make an impact at home. I'm doing all this cool stuff, but what am I doing to give back at home?
And we just got a little bit of time left, but I want to ask you because you're Kickley.
Yes.
That's not your original name. That's something you came up with.
Yeah. That is all right, that's not something I came up with.
Well, I want to hear the origin of, you don't have to share your real name if you don't want to, but it's not your birth name.
Yeah. So tell us. So Kickley, the kick piece actually comes from Elements, which is a local youth organization that focuses on helping inner city youth by providing lessons in the five elements of hip hop.
That's Elements with a Z at the end.
Yeah, Elements with a Z. Let's be clear, with a Z. You're right. Mm-hmm. They teach DJing. They have music production, audio recording, visual arts, poetry now they incorporate as well. They have dance. So it's like all these different elements of just hip hop and urban arts. And that's kind of where I actually really, that's really where I got the motivation, the start in my motivation to continue to do what I do today was through Element. So my nickname then was Sidekick. Now, the reason everyone called me Sidekick is because no one actually knew my name when I first started going there. There was like select, like maybe two or three people, but they didn't know my name. So they're like, what's this guy's name? Oh, I had posters up with coupons that said Sidekick Beats. That's what I branded it. So people started calling me Sidekick. But as time went on, it kind of just got a little more slang into just Kick, and there's Kick. And then pretty much Lee comes from, you know, a martial artist, second degree black belt. I haven't done it in a while, but second degree black belt, did that. And that community would, you know, I would joke around like, you know, Bruce Lee, Bruce Leroy. And people would just yelling around and just being silly. And they're like, that's Lee. He acts like Lee. So we're going to associate Lee. I went with it. Unbeknownst to me that later in life, I would merge the two into Kick Lee. And it's so important. My name is so important, especially for this community, because it was given to me by two different communities. So that's why, and it hit me in the middle of another storyteller's event, that I am actually a product of my community, because two communities gave me this name to where I am now part of a bigger picture and bigger, you know, plan for this community. So
now you may be part of someone else's bigger picture.
Yes.
Kick Lee is the founder of the Cincinnati Music Accelerator. Thanks for chatting with us about all that today.
You're totally welcome. Yes.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our show are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.